Eagles wearing their midnight green jerseys and their white pants. Plunging down to the two, and Border, yes, touchdown, Border. Pass over the middle, and it's deflected and intercepted. And running with the football and finally out of bounds at the 15 is Rodney McLeod. So there's the pick. He is hit, and he is flat. There's the first sack back at the 11-yard line, Garrett Barnett. And it is intercepted by Ronald Darby. Darby picks it off, the second pick of Prescott in this game, and he's down at the Cowboys 46. Comes right back to Clement, five, he's into the end zone. Clement and the Eagles regain the lead. Went back, looks right, looks left, starts to run, takes the football, fires, they've got 2 points. Now Sean Jeffrey. Back again, he steps up, the ball is deflected, and loose, picked up by the Eagles, and Stratum. Nigel Branham. Branham picked it up and took it in for a touchdown. Cha-ching, cha-ching. It's blowout city in Arlington, Texas. The Eagles, 37. The Cowboys, 9.
And that is your Bud Light story of the game, and what a story it is. The Eagles blowing out the Dallas Cowboys on Sunday night. 8 straight wins for this football team, now 9-1. Hello, everyone. Welcome to Eagles 360. Dave Spadaro, Eagles Insider, along with the Hall of Famer, Brian Westbrook here. We're all smiles on this Monday.
Victory Monday.
Blowout victory. Another blowout victory Monday. Brian, I'm not sure where to start here, just kind of in the overview of this football team. 30 unanswered points in the second half. We see a team that didn't, you know, get it going in the first half. All of a sudden, they come out in the second half. No place kicker, no problem.
It's weird because when you look at the team, you're saying, well, how are they doing it? I mean, is it the run game? Parts of the game, it's the run game. Parts of the game, it's Carson Wentz taking over. We know every single game, the defense continues to show up. It's been impressive to watch this team. And as a guy that's seen a lot of different football teams play, especially here in Philadelphia, this is one unique team because it's guys that love each other. They all want to play together, and they don't care who gets the credit.
I guess to me what's the most startling is just how much better the Eagles are than their opponents these last many weeks, Brian. This is not squeak by with the victory. Mm-hmm. This is blowouts.
Yeah. I mean,
after blowout.
The team continues
blowouts.
To get better every single week. They have a bad half. They end up scoring 37 points. I mean, it's weird that that continues to happen, but this team is special. They score an awful lot of points because their defense is playing well.
A 4-game lead in the NFC East. The Eagles now with 6 games to go in the regular season. The Chicago Bears up next on Sunday at Lincoln Financial Field. Let's take a look at the Eagles' win over Dallas. First, the offense presented by Golden Nugget Jeweler. We're Philadelphia. We're Philly. All of us. We all get engaged there. I know you do.
I did.
I know, you did.
They helped me out a lot, too.
I know.
So
good people. The offense, Brian, again, a tale of two halves here. And it seems in this instance that the run game, once the run game started to click, it really got everything going.
One of the best things about all the teams that I played on that were good, we had a lot of different ways to win. Offensively, you see this team has a lot of different ways to win. They can use a play-action pass. They can use Carson Wentz dropping back. And they also now have the run game going with 3 different guys that continue to contribute. Ajayi, Clement, Blunt, you even throw Barner in there for the first touchdown. That's 4 guys that can help you out offensively running the football. And now what you're seeing is they're winning in the trenches. The offensive line is reestablishing the line of scrimmage. And now you have big holes for these running backs to run through. That's a good problem to have.
And the head coach, as we've seen, and I think it's really important to keep emphasizing this, Doug Peterson has embraced the run game, which you do not see a lot in the West Coast offense. And we did not see a lot week after week after week in the Andy Reid era.
Andy Reid, we always had communication, and some would call that fights about how many times are we going to run the football. There were teams that we already knew going into the game we weren't going to run the ball. The good thing about Doug this season is that he saw the first couple games of the year he was unbalanced with the pass-run ratio, and now he goes into every single game knowing you have to run the football, and he runs the ball consistently. He continues to stay with it and really has been the difference in a lot of these football games.
Can the Eagles keep that rotation going down the stretch into the playoffs? And it's okay to start talking about the playoffs. We've got to broaden the picture here for the Eagles. Can they use Ajayi and Blunt and Clement and get them carries in big games down the stretch?
I don't see why you can't. If you have 30, 35 carries a game, you can get 15 for Ajayi, 15 or so for Clement, and then the rest you go to LeGarrette Blount. I think you want to get all these guys involved. They all bring something a little bit different. You got Clement coming out of the backfield, being able to catch the football. You haven't been able to run the ball strongly downfield. Ajayi continues to break big runs. Hopefully he'll get into the end zone next time. And then you have Blount, a bruiser, especially when you get up big, short yardage. You want to throw him in the game. He's been able to be effective as well. And so all three players have played a big role to this team, and I think they continue that as it goes.
215 rushing yards, 2 touchdowns on the ground by the Eagles. What a performance on Sunday night in Dallas by the ground game. Now, Carson Wentz struggled in the first half, no doubt about it. 18 passes. I think he had, 6 completions, yeah. 80 yards. It was a struggle. Drop passes, passing game not getting things going. And, Brian, we saw a young quarterback who struggled through 2 quarters regroup and then come out on fire in the second half.
Yeah. Not a lot of young quarterbacks understand that you're going to have some bad quarters, you're going to have some bad halves, but you still have to play 4 quarters of football. The one thing that you have to love about Carson Wentz is that he has a bad quarter, he comes back and plays very well for the next 3 quarters. He has a bad half, he comes back and finishes the game strong. You have to love that about a young quarterback. He has almost a mindset of a DB where they're like, that play is gone, we're going to keep playing to the next play. That's the same thing that Carson has, and it's a thing of beauty.
And then the Eagles had to pull out the 2-point playbook with kicker Jake Elliott sideline. Kickers should just not get involved. And I know Jake, yeah. He was probably running over going, oh, no, somebody tackle him.
Yeah.
But he gets knocked out a little bit here in the first half of the game. Eagles going without a place kicker, so they went 4-2. They converted 3 of 4, would have been 4 of 4 had Zach Ertz not fumbled going into the end zone. How many of those plays, Brian, would you think were actually part of the 2-point package? How many plays are there in a playbook for 2-point packages?
Any time that we play, we had maybe 1, maybe 2 plays in the 2-point package. I don't know where Doug is pulling these plays from. And really, you have to give a lot of credit to Doug getting the plays in there, preparing his football team for situations like this. No one prepares for 4 2-point conversions. Doug has done a great job of all season long getting guys prepared to play, getting guys ready to play. It certainly has made a difference in this season.
On a night when Zach Ertz was held in check, the Eagles stepping up on the outside with Alshon Jeffrey, another touchdown catch. Torrey Smith getting into the act with a touchdown catch. Good to see, Brian, as the Eagles continue to just spread the ball around, kill you with all the weapons that they have. Defenses cannot settle in and zero in on one aspect of this offense at all.
If you go back and look at the stats and you say, who was the guy that beat us? You can't say anyone. It was a little bit of this guy, a little bit of that guy, a little bit of this, a little bit of the run game. That's a thing of beauty because now defenses can't focus on just stopping Torrey Smith or just stopping the run game or Alshon Jeffrey. They have to focus on the entire field. That's a great thing to have, especially for a young quarterback and a play caller.
And that's a look at the offense presented by Golden Nugget, where Philly gets engaged. Of course, we've got so much more to get to here on Eagles 360, a look at the Eagles on defense, on special teams, and some of the big plays from Sunday night's blowout win over the Dallas Cowboys. We're coming right back. This portion of Eagles 360 was brought to you by McDonald's. McDonald's introduces the new Buffalo Bacon Signature crafted recipe. Enjoy this sandwich on your choice of buttermilk crispy chicken, grilled artisan chicken, or quarter pound beef patty. I'm loving it.
A hero to me is somebody that acts without hesitation.
Helps someone in need, helps a community in need.
Do what is right, whether somebody's watching or not.
Somebody selflessly doing something for others.
That's what a real life hero is.
Somebody that lives their life
trying to help somebody.
Ordinary people.
Willing to answer the cry.
Anybody who can show signs of courage. Really anybody.
Hit the beach this spring with me, Dave Spadaro, and your favorite Eagles players and alumni. Travel to Al Jade Riviera Cancun in Riviera Maya, Mexico, for a getaway full of special activities and VIP events. Packages include round-trip nonstop air, resort transfers, unlimited luxury hotel accommodations, plus all meals and drinks. Go to applevacations.com/eagles to book your trip today.
We welcome you back. Eagles 360, Dave Spadaro, Brian Westbrook. Time now to take a look at some of the big plays from the win on Sunday night, our All-22 review, presented by Community College of Philadelphia. First up, Corey Clement on the ground finds pay dirt. Here, Fran Duffy and Greg Cosell.
And that touchdown, Greg, goes back to the concept we looked at on the opening drive. This is a trap play. Brandon Brooks comes around, and he blocks the three-technique defensive tackle. Draw this up for us here and how it helps open up Corey Clement for this touchdown.
Yeah, and we saw this a number of times. This is what they did. This was the foundation of their run game. Here is Brooks. What you're going to get here is they're going to allow, again, the three-technique Irvin. They're going to allow him to penetrate because what they want to do is allow Stefan Wisniewski to get up to the second level along with Big V. So it's a true trap play. So let's run it, and we'll see. Freeze it right about there. Perfect. You see the trap block right there. And what do you see here? The two blocks, Wisniewski, Big V at the second level. This is executed just as it's drawn up. Another great example of a trap play executed beautifully. As we let this run, you'll see the gashing hole for Corey Clement and a touchdown that started the Eagles onto their big win. But this was the first drive of the second half, and they needed this badly.
They reached the end zone. A two-point conversion makes it 15-9. And then the other thing you love about that touchdown is you get Corey Clement had square the line of scrimmage downhill right away.
That's the kind of runner he is.
A quick hit and run, and that's a great way to get the Eagles back on the board. It was, we talked about the tough sledding earlier.
Oh, yeah.
It was nice, easy sledding. It was downhill sledding for the Eagles from this point on. Now 15-9. Let's take a look at some more of these big plays.
All right, guys, thanks very much. Brian, I'd like to talk more specifically about Corey Clement than about that touchdown play. Six touchdowns scored by Corey. He's showing it in the pass game, in the run game. I think he seems to be getting stronger, better, faster as the season goes along. What are you seeing?
I'm seeing a young man that's playing much more confident. But it also started, ironically enough, on the special team side of the ball. You talk about the first play of the game, opening kickoff, first game of the season. He goes down and makes a play. And now he's saying, okay, I'm going to get it done in all phases on special teams. I'm going to contribute. And now the offensive coaches see what he's able to do on special teams, and they start putting him in the game a lot more on the offensive side of the ball. And now what I see is a young man that's continued to get confidence. He continues to explode. He has good vision, and he finishes his runs very well. You saw that on the touchdown. The first guy doesn't contact him until 10 yards down the field because the offensive line has done a great job of blocking. Zach Ertz finds a way to get a block by Ty and Wiz, do a great job of getting to the second level and leading him into the end zone. But at the end of the run, he's on the 2 or 3 yard line. He bulls the guys over and gets into the end zone. That's how you finish a run. It's really good to see a young guy do that.
I'm glad you mentioned the offensive line because as we in the previous segment talked about the offense, we didn't really touch on the line. But what a job Lane Johnson did on DeMarcus Lawrence, and no word from David Irving. And I mean, Carson had a good pocket for the night, and the run game, of course, churning up the yards.
When you have over 200 yards rushing, it all starts up front. You're going to either win or lose in the trenches. The offensive line has done a great job of reestablishing the line of scrimmage. Now the running backs, instead of getting contacted 1 yard past the line of scrimmage, it's 4, 5, 6 yards past the line of scrimmage where they're getting the first contact. That's the proof. That's how you have a good run game, the offensive line. That's where it starts, and they've done a great job.
Well, another review here, All-22 review presented by Community College of Philadelphia. Jay Ajayi off the left side goes 71 yards, sets up an Eagles touchdown. Again, another big play from the newest Eagles running back.
So the defense gets the ball back for the offense, Greg. The Eagles are now up 15-9, early third quarter. It's the ensuing drive, and now we see this huge run, a 71-yard run here for Jay Ajayi. It's tackle power, Greg.
Yep.
Really want you to draw this up for us.
Yeah, this is really well done again, and it was the run game that really got this offense going in the second half. So you said it's tackle power. It's going to be Big V right here. He's going to come around and he's going to get the linebacker Jalen Smith, and everybody else is basically going to seal inside. And notice where Ajayi is in the backfield. This is what we call same side power. He's on the same side offset in the backfield as the puller. So it's same side power. So let's clear the screen and at least get to where we can see Big V make contact. Right there, boom, that's perfect. So look what you get. You get all these seals here with angle blocks, and you get the pulling tackle, and you get the power element right here, and look at that hold. You get a large gap, and now you get Ajayi able to run through that as we get this going. and there's no one there because the safety takes a really bad angle coming down to play Jai Xavier Woods, the rookie, a bad angle, and Ajayi now is off for 71 yards. This was a big, big run. But again, a lot of the same concepts. Now, this is not trap or wham, but it's the idea of getting someone who can pull. Now, here the puller gets a second-level player, not a three technique, but they did a lot of pulling with their offensive line in this game.
Yeah, we saw earlier the tackle power as well earlier in the game with Lane Johnson coming around. This one was for an explosive run. 71 yards for Jai Ajayi, his longest run as an Eagle. Really helped get the flow going in the Eagles' favor in this game.
Thanks, Fran. Thanks, Greg. Brian, 71 yards is a long way. I thought he was going to go to the house.
He's always there.
Yeah. He wants to get in the end zone, doesn't he?
Let me tell you this. As a running back, as you're running, you're looking behind you. You're seeing all these fast guys behind you. You're peeking, and you're hoping that end zone gets closer and closer. Unfortunately, he didn't get there. But to get that run, again, it's the same story. The offensive line opens a wide hole. I could have ran, and right now I could have ran through that hole.
What?
Yeah, I would have been slow, much slower. I wouldn't have got 71 yards, but it's different. I would have been able to get through that hole because it was so big. Offensive line did a great job of it, reestablishing the line of scrimmage again. And in order to have a long run like that, you have to have receivers, tight ends, blocking downfield. Again, you see the team element. Everyone doing their job, everyone doing a great job of just picking up the slack, Ajayi with the long run. Next time he'll get in the end zone.
How do you think defenses are reacting to the presence of Jai in the backfield? It certainly changes the dynamic of what the Eagles are showing in terms of a look to a defense.
If you're a defense, there's a couple things you have to look out for. First of all, you know number 11 is back there, and he can throw the ball. He's been very accurate. He can throw the ball down the field. He can get inside breaking routes. He can throw outside breaking routes. So you have to be worried about that. Then you start to have three guys come out of the backfield that can catch the ball. They're doing a much better job blocking and that are running the ball physically down the field. It just puts a defense in a hard bind because you have to worry about the pass and the run. No defense wants to go against an offense that's two-dimensional. Right now, this Eagles offense has been two-dimensional, and they're doing a very good job of it.
Nicely done. That's our All-22 review presented by Community College of Philadelphia. More to get to here on Eagles 360. When we return, we talk about a tremendous defensive performance. Special teams had some challenges but overcame them. It all worked for the Eagles on Sunday night. We'll talk about the defense and the special teams when we come back. This portion of Eagles 360 was presented by Toyota. Now is your chance to vote for the Toyota Player of the Week. Go to PhiladelphiaEagles.com, Toyota Player of the Week, cast your vote, and get a chance at a brand new Toyota.
There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
Stop!
Come and see what's happening at your local Acme. Better sale prices, superior service, and great quality products. Cleaner, friendlier, fresher. Like fresher meat and seafood, and fresher produce and hundreds of organics. And our butchers cut our USDA Choice Lancaster beef in store every day. So stop in, shop, and see for yourself why Acme is just better. Acme, the official supermarket of the Philadelphia Eagles.
Finding the end zone is his specialty. In fact, he's found it over 17 times already today. He is a professional football watcher because he has NFL Red Zone from NFL Network on Xfinity. He catches every touchdown from every game Sunday afternoons all season long. Become a pro fan only with Xfinity. Switch to an X1 triple play and add the sports entertainment package to get NFL Red Zone. Call or go online today.
At some houses, weekends are all about peaceful relaxation. At the Carter House, the Dream Whistlers are still trying to find their sound. And by choosing the NRG Free Weekends plan, the electricity supply for all that beautiful noise is free, all weekend long. Lucky them. NRG.
What? There are bumps along the road of life, and for each one, there's AAA.
It's just three kids, right?
Our final segment here on Eagles 360, Dave Spadaro, Brian Westbrook, and we are talking about the Eagles' defense against a Dallas Cowboys offense minus Ezekiel Elliott, minus Tyron Smith. We expected the Eagles to have their way with Dallas, and Brian, they did.
You know, if you just rewind last week, the week before that, it would be the same thing. The front four continues to play on a different level than anyone else in the NFL right now. Continue to make it hard for opposing quarterbacks to get comfortable in the pocket. They continue to win the war in the trenches. And this goes back to what Andy Reid used to always say. Offensively and defensively, if you win in the trenches, you have a great chance of winning. Defensively, they're not only winning in the trenches, they're dominating in the trenches. And that makes it easy on all the guys in the secondary. You wonder why you're getting interceptions and four turnovers, fumbles, and all those types of things? Because the guys up front are starting it. They're setting the tone. They're doing a great job of winning up front. And now it makes it easier for everyone else.
I'm glad you mentioned the turnovers, four takeaways for the Eagles, three interceptions. One by Ronald Darby. Welcome back to the lineup, Ronald Darby, who I thought looked really good. And you see the athletic ability, the pass breakup in the end zone on the jump ball to Dez Bryant, the interception on another pass intended for Dez Bryant. As you look big picture here, Brian, secondary with Darby, with Patrick Robinson playing great in the slot, and with Jalen Mills on the other side.
It's weird because the secondary was already playing pretty good, obviously helped with the help of the defensive line. And now you add Ronald Darby, who is athletic. He's fast. You can put him on one guy and say, just check this guy. He can shut him down. He's the type of guy that makes this defense even better. And they were already playing at a strong level, especially in the secondary. I just see this team continue to come together. And that's a thing of importance as you try to make this run towards the playoffs.
I wonder if there is a better and deeper, more talented group of cornerbacks in the NFC. Again, I'm looking a little bit to Minnesota. I'm looking at the matchups against Thielen and Stephon Diggs and the Saints with their receivers. Now Robinson in the slot, the job he did on Cole Beasley on Sunday night, really impressive. You see that short area quickness.
Patrick Robinson, I mean, I know you probably talked about it, but there were some questions about him during camp.
Sure.
He's not going to be good enough, but would he be able to get the job done?
Will he be able to make the team?
He's done such a good job that you don't even mention the slot anymore. Mm-hmm. You come into the games and you're not worried about that. That's how good he's been. That's impressive for a guy that's been around the league and has, quite frankly, struggled in some situations. This year, he's done a great job. You have to give credit to himself, the scheme, Jim Schwartz, and also the front. I mean, all those things have played a part into his success. He's taken a lot of pride in his position, and you can tell on the field.
Yeah, it's amazing. Now, Patrick Robinson was not playing real well in preseason training camp. So now he's in the slot. He's a nickel cornerback. You can bring Malcolm Jenkins into that linebacker, quasi-linebacker role. You can use Corey Graham as a safety. I mean, you've got a lot of high-quality cover players playing behind a front four that, as you say, is just dominating.
Well, I thought last year you take away a little bit of the team when you bring Malcolm Jenkins and play the slot. He's so good that I love to have him have the ability to kind of do everything, but I don't really want him to play the slot. That's why it's so important that Patrick Robinson is taking up the slack at that position. Now Malcolm Jenkins can be the guy that he's always been, all over the field, making different types of plays. He continues to put the defense in the right position. He makes plays in the run game, in the pass game. You put him at linebacker, he makes plays at the line of scrimmage. It's impressive to watch the defense go in and out, intermingle the position, interchange guys. It's a thing of beauty, especially when you have the front seven playing as well as they have.
And Derek Barnett, a couple sacks. Tim Jernigan, a sack. Eagles dominating. Fletcher Cox just destroying Zach Martin, who is a Pro Bowl caliber guard for the Cowboys. How about the special teams? Well, it was an interesting night, to say the least. Jake Elliott, a collision on the opening kickoff, tackles Ryan Switzer, probably the last time we'll see Jake Elliott near
last
the
tackle.
Football.
That's right.
So the Eagles, after Elliott missed a field goal attempt, having to go with Camus Grugier-Hill as the kickoff specialist. Now, the first non-kicker for the Eagles since, of course, you remember Mark Cimino. 2005, David Akers has a hamstring injury. Cimino goes in and kicks an extra point. It was enjoyable to watch now after the 28-point victory. His first practice kick on the sidelines into the net, missed the net, went into the stands. Everybody in the sidelines starts to laugh, but Grugier-Hill did a nice job on kickoffs.
He did a really good job. I talked to Coach Phipps this morning, and he was like, the next man up. And it's weird to hear that.
Taking that to a new level.
It's a whole different level. I mean, you're talking about Jason Peters, okay, Sproles, okay, Darby, Hicks. The kicker, that was one of those guys you're just like, we don't want to miss that guy. But he ended up doing a good job, and things worked out.
Do you ever kick?
No, and it's the reason why. I'm good at being a running back, and that's it. That's it.
So the Eagles doing it in all three phases of the game on Sunday night to whip up on the Dallas Cowboys. Brian, do the Cowboys at 5-5, do you still see them as a playoff threat?
No. I think they've lost their identity. They don't have the offensive line strength that they've had in the years past. But they're a running team, and if they don't have that special guy in the backfield, Zeke Elliott, then it's a totally different football team. It puts too much pressure on the quarterback. Quite honestly, Dez Bryant has disappeared for the last 2-3 years. Cole Beasley is struggling just a little bit. Terrence Williams cannot catch the football. And so I just think offensively they can't get it done, which puts a lot more pressure on the defense. Their defense can't come to play.
Dak Prescott, one of the themes going into this game was Dak against Carson Wentz. Do you see them on even playing fields in terms of their skill level year two?
Well, I think they asked him to do a little bit different deal down there in Dallas, especially when you have Zeke there. But when you see Carson throw the football, you see a different type of velocity come out of the ball. You see a different type of pop come off of his come out of his hands when he throws the football. And so you compare it in a little bit differently. It's hard to compare the two. You're asked to do something different. But the one good thing that both young quarterbacks have done, except for Dak Prescott in this game, is control the football, throwing the ball to the other team. Coming into the game, both guys had low turnover percentages. Dak Prescott found a way to get it done, throwing us the football in this football game.
We look ahead a little bit. The Cowboys on Thursday hosting a game against the L.A. Chargers. I keep saying, but the San Diego Chargers, now the L.A. Chargers, maybe the best team in the AFC West with the the AFC West, the fall of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yes.
So the Chargers, I believe, will beat the Cowboys. I'm trying to get my mind all wrapped around this thing. And the Eagles, of course, hosting the Bears on Sunday.
The Chargers are hot right now. Philip Rivers, he's gotten it going, so they're hot right now. I just don't think
a win would definitely knock the Cowboys.
They're out of there. Yeah.
Incredible. So as we look ahead here, we bring up the Amorosos on the Menu segment for you. Glenn Mack now joining me in studio for Eagles 360 on Tuesday. Head coach Doug Peterson, his weekly visit presented by Wawa, and Corey Unlin, defensive backs coach, talking a little tape study as we look into that secondary and the success the cornerbacks have had for the Eagles, certainly on Sunday, a dominating performance. Any reason, Brian, to think that the Eagles will step down with the struggling Bears, the rebuilding Bears, a rookie quarterback coming to town?
You know, even, and I said it coming into this game, even if they start slow, which they did, and they've started slow a couple games. I think they started slow in the Washington game as well as the San Fran game. Offensively, their defense continues to carry them. And that's what winning teams do. They play well defensively. You look at some of the teams in the NFC East. Minnesota, defense. The New Orleans Saints, even though they have Drew Brees, they're running the football good and they're playing good defense. Philadelphia Eagles are running the football well. They're playing great defense in the quarterback. When they need him, he comes to play. It's just hard to look past that.
Yeah. Well, hey, another win for the Eagles. Another week getting ready for the Chicago Bears. It's a Thanksgiving week. I wish you a very happy Thanksgiving,
happy Thanksgiving,
Brian. See you next week
after
the Eagles play the Bears. Thank you so much for joining us here on Eagles 360. For Brian Westbrook, I'm Dave Spadaro. Have yourselves a great Eagles day.